Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. We were talking about how Houston is a city of division champions and about how the Detroit Lions failed in their attempt to pressure the league into changing NFL seeding where teams that win the division don't necessarily get a home playoff game. And a lot of people started texting in about the city of New Orleans, what, 6 hours to our east? And I know there's lots of Saints fans that live in town, and I know we got a lot of listeners living out in the Golden Triangle and big money and all that. But a couple of people texted in from the 832. Paul, didn't New Orleans have a record low murders when they won the Super Bowl? And from the 936, Eric the Driver says, sports success does stop crime. There were no murders in New Orleans the first 3 weeks of last season. Sean brought that up. When the Saints were 3-0, the day they lost, someone got clapped a few hours later. Eric the Driver.
I forgot about that. I didn't know it was like hours later.
I didn't either. Now, New Orleans just hosted the Super Bowl, right? So, supposedly, there was a 40% drop in deaths from 2023 to last year with the city about to host the Super Bowl. So, that's something. Also, this is a Vice.com article from 2013. I guess 2013 was a year where the Saints did, I think they did pretty well, but the number was down. In this article, there was a clip that said it was related to the Saints, and I clicked on the article. It's nowhere to be found. But on a Reddit thread where Saints fans were talking about how the 18 days without a murder, the longest stint in years after the Saints 3-0 start last year, how it was a big deal. Someone commented, the Saints record, 2009, 13-3 with the Super Bowl, 174 murders. 2022, 7-10, no playoffs, 266 murders. 1994, 7-9, no playoffs, 424 murders. Okay, whoa, good God, that's a lot. But it does seem like there is a connection. I will have to ask some of my Saints fans friends if they agree.
Yeah, yeah.
What a place, Louisiana.
I remember, it's coming back to me. I remember we tracked this. I think the first 2 weeks we tracked it, and then they won one more and then lost. But yeah, I think New Orleans, you can, I don't want to say definitely draw a line, but it feels like the line is closer with New Orleans than with other cities.
Yeah.
I don't think most people care enough about the Texans.
I have
their mood altered. It's their murderous rage altered.
It's just not a diehard sports town, which I respect.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like in my time here, I've become like a lot of you guys. I realize, oh, I don't need to lose my mind whenever my favorite team loses. I could just go to El Tiempo, get a margarita.
Yeah, just numb it.
Or I could go out and hang out. I mean, the bar scene here is great. The restaurant scene here is great. There are other things here to do. There's clubs. You hear about those? There's lots of clubs around the town.
I have heard about those.
Yeah. You know, there's all sorts of distractions to ease your pain when your favorite team goes down. But this also is a city with a lot of success. Is it the golden age of Houston sports? I feel like that question was asked once a year or every
like
other year.
Every 6 months.
Like two teams are doing good at the same time, and one team's got a lot of upside. Golden age of Houston sports.
Yeah.
Right now, things are pretty good. but I don't think that there's a connection like in New Orleans between the Saints and the city, between any team in Houston and the city. Like, I think New Orleans and the Saints, it is, considering especially how bad the Saints have been for much of their history, I mean, that is a very committed, if not usually toxic, relationship.
Yeah, usually toxic. I don't remember in 2018 when the Texans went on a, what, 9-game winning streak?
8-game
winning streak. I don't remember there being stories about how there's murder rates have plummeted in the 8-game win streak in 2018 that captured the hearts and minds of the city.
It really did. Got everyone back on the straight and narrow. And you know what? Right now, Saints don't have a quarterback, and people are escaping from jail.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
I mean,
have they caught all the guys yet? Or?
They've caught most of the guys. Last I checked, I think they got 4 of the 8. I think the funniest part about those guys breaking out, because it's pretty scary. A lot of these, I think half of them were murderers. But the amusing part of the escape was they wrote LOL over the hole that they escaped through.
Too easy.
God, if you're a guard, that's just got to absolutely suck.
Because you open it up, and I imagine it's like the scene in Shawshank where you're like, whoa. But imagine if there's also like a,
right. Loser. Yeah. There was, I actually have this clip in the rundown, Sean. There was a press conference. This is in the garbage time section. There was a press conference where I guess the person running the jail like said, like, hey, we've been communicating with people in the community and victims of these people, and like they're really thankful to us. And I was like, wait a second, what? And I would not have picked up on it because she's wearing these wacky green glasses as she's giving a press conference, like, hey, 8 murderers are on the loose. This is what she sounds like.
What she had and I did not have, we shared information and we both gathered all the information and we made sure all victims were aware of what was going on. Most of the victims were very grateful for the calls. They graciously thank us. We additionally sent our detectives to their homes for more safety measures. And that alone speak measures.
Whoa.
I strongly
whoa.
Encourage all to educate the community on the importance of Vine Link. This is a free app that is listed online, and it is also a guide for victims and survivors to track offenders while they navigate the criminal justice system.
Okay, imagine, one, you're a victim. They're calling you to say, oh, whoops, these guys got out. They got out,
just
whoops.
Heads up.
And then in a press conference, she says, most of the victims were thankful that we told them that we let the people that victimized them out. Also, if you're a victim, we have an app.
Yeah. Free app.
The Saints need to start winning. The Saints need to start winning.
Tyler Shuck, it's on you.
Yeah, that's because that would not make me feel better. Anyway, I thought that was hilarious in a dark, dark, dark way. Like, yeah, the victims were very thankful that we notified them that the people that made them victims escaped. Like,
yeah.
What?
I'd maybe search around that they're thankful, like, to after we sent detectives to their house, then they're thankful for the extra protection. Like, just move it around a little bit so they're not like, hey, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
And listen, guys, the reason that we're talking about the city of New Orleans right
Why
now.
Why are we talking about the city of New Orleans?
Because the Astros offense is struggling, and because we are trying to determine whether or not there is a connection between sports success and murder. And in New Orleans, there might be. Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Paul, I thought this was a sports show. I did too, but sometimes we just drift down rabbit holes, okay? On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, there's something that's coming to the sports world that no one asked for. We'll talk about it on the other side. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
best interactive sports talk show in town. A question for you. Did any of you want this? Did any of you want flag football in the Olympics? Did anyone want that? I know the NFL wanted it. The NFL has been pushing for this for quite some time because the NFL's greedy. They all want more money. They all want more exposure for their game. They want to grow it internationally. They want to play more games internationally. Roger Goodell even said, traitor that he is to our country, yesterday, hey, we're going to play 16 regular season games internationally at some point. Disgusting. It's an American game. Belongs to America. The people that are paying for season ticket prices should be able to go to as many games as possible. And I think that, for the most part, you were pricing out a good 90% of your fans by holding games in other countries. Probably more. But whatever. Do you, right? So now the NFL is on this let's make flag football a thing movement. Does anyone like this? Does anyone like watching flag football? I like playing flag football. If I still could play tackle, I would. Would it be worth it? No, I would probably suffer an injury rather quickly. So what I do is I do play flag football occasionally. But no one wants to watch it. Football's fun. You know why football's fun? Because people hit each other and it's violent. It is the closest thing that we have in American sports to gladiators. We all like a little violence. Don't lie. You know you like the hits. We all like the hits. And while the hits are slowly becoming less and less across the league with personal fouls for unnecessary roughness all over the place, you would have thought that Azeez Al-Shaair was Lee Harvey Oswald with the way that people went after him after that unnecessary roughness moment with Trevor Lawrence. But does anyone really want to see flag football? Because now flag football is going to be in the Olympics. And today, NFL owners voted 32-0 to allow active NFL players to participate in Olympic flag football. But here's how it would work. Only one player per NFL team can be on Team USA. Said U.S. team will have 10 players for 5-on-5 Olympic flag football. It's 5-on-5? It's not even 7-on-7. Who wants to watch this? 5-on-5 is what you play when there aren't enough people showing up on a Saturday. Like, this is not going to be good. It's going to be a lot of open space. Do you really want that? I don't think this is going to be good. And I think to make matters worse, I think the U.S. is not going to be very good at it. So you got guys who only one player per team can be on Team USA. There's not going to be a lot of prep time. And do you want these guys a week before training camp to be risking injury? Do you want one of your best players to be playing for Team USA in a tournament where you can only be disappointed? Like, are you going to really enjoy it if the United States kicks the bleep out of some random country in flag football? You're probably not going to get that excited, right? Like, maybe with Team USA in basketball, since the rest of the world has made things a little bit more competitive, specifically countries like Spain, Serbia, like maybe in basketball, we actually are in a place where, hey, there's the possibility of a loss for the United States Olympic basketball team, for the United States national team. But for flag football, like, if we lose, it is a tragedy. It is a disaster. You're only watching this hoping that everything goes according to plan. You're only going to be disappointed no matter what. They're not going to win by enough. They win a game in a close fashion. These guys don't represent the United States of America. Bleh. Like, there will be some of that as well from the people who want to drift into politics and grift a little bit. Like, there's just going to be a lot of things you don't want that come as a byproduct of this. So seeing guys like Justin Jefferson said, it's been my dream to play flag football in the Olympics. The Vikings have never won a Super Bowl, Justin. Never. Not once. They lost, I think they lost 3 in a row in the 70s. They've never won a Super Bowl. What are we doing here? No one wants this. No one wants flag football in the Olympics. I just do not believe this. Other than NFL owners who want to continue to grow the game globally and amongst people that don't actually want to sign up for the physicality, which maybe is the future of the sport. And I've said this before. Flag football could be what the NFL becomes. Does anyone want that? No. Again, I play it. because I don't want to get hurt and I enjoy playing football. But the football with violence is the only football that matters to me. I don't want to watch this. I don't care about this. And I hate that the NFL like really prioritizing this as this big, big thing that they're going to pull off in 3 years. No one's really going to care. And they're patting themselves on the back for pulling this off. And the only person that I want to hear talking about this are guys like A.J. Brown who say like, yeah, man, I'm all about training camp. I'm all about the real thing that matters, which is the Super Bowl. Because, yes, the Super Bowl matters more than a gold medal in Olympic 5-on-5 flag football. It does. It would be cool, and we brought this up as far as NBA All-Star Game alternatives. We brought this up where it would be cool if instead of this idea that they're trying to pull off where the United States would play an international team or something like that, like it's the Ryder Cup, if they had a situation where basketball players from different cities or different regions of the United States competed against one another, that would be cool. Different regions of the United States competing against one another in flag football might be interesting. But again, it's flag football. And I am annoyed by the amount of headlines that I have seen that have to do with flag football becoming an Olympic sport. And this has nothing to do with the fact that I would love to play flag football for the United States of America and potentially win a gold medal. Nothing to do with that. This is all about flag football is not fun to watch. I'm sorry. Do we need to have more sports that involve no physicality at all? What's going to happen when one of the guys on Team USA is running down the field, has an awesome play, and then he gets called for flag guarding, which, by the way, commonly called. If you play flag football before, you will get called for flag guarding legitimately if your arms are too close to your hips. It's dumb. I'm annoyed that the NFL is flexing about this. It's flag football. And the only things that are going to happen are this. The U.S. dominates everyone without really trying, or the United States stinks because they're playing together for the first time. And they lose to, like, trying to think of a country that could potentially beat us. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Imagine if we lost to England. I don't think there's any English football players out there. If we lost to Canada in this, like, it's just not going to happen. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. No way.
What?
Justin Jefferson is calling in on the HRNP listener line. Justin Jefferson, hello.
What's going on, Mr. Gallant? I'd just like to say, man, you know, it is my dream to win an Olympic gold medal. Couldn't compete on the bobsled team because it'd be too hard. But I just know I can play football out there and get me a gold medal. So I don't know why you want to poo-poo this idea. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Justin Jefferson. Now,
voice different than I thought.
A lot different than I thought it would be. Sounds a lot like Forrest Gump.
Aw.
What? He sounds a little like Forrest Gump. Sounds like a Greenbow, Alabama accent there. No? Right? Also, it would be hilarious if we let NFL players play bobsled.
That's what we stumbled on to.
Yeah.
I think I'm more down for I'm okay with the flag football in the Olympics just to see it once and hope that it looks like pros versus Joes, because that would just be hilarious.
Yeah.
Every day, like, because it's also the Olympics, because they would play it at like 2 p.m, just like, oh, Patrick Mahomes just juked some random guy out of his sneakers.
I mean, that's what the Pro Bowl's kind of become. The Pro Bowl has turned into, hey, the best NFL athletes are going to do tug of war. So,
yeah.
I mean, NFL players as bobsledders, that would be awesome. Also, it would piss off the bobsledders. It would really make them mad. Like, guys like just completely taking over their very niche winter sport.
Or like, yeah, hurdles or something like that. Or if these guys could... surely there has to be one awesome ping pong player among NFL players. There's a ping pong table in every locker room until they have a 2-game losing streak, then it gets taken out. But I think that having NFL players try different Olympic sports, trying to make different,
that'd be fun.
That's more interesting.
I would love to watch the best NFL players try to play basketball, because every single NFL player is convinced they're great at basketball.
Yeah, or just a 3-on-3 team that's only football players.
Yeah.
So it's like Michael Parsons, CJ Stroud, and a third guy.
And it would be an abomination. It would be an absolute abomination.
It'd be so fun.
It would be, I mean, you know, we jest about the WNBA. At least in the WNBA, there's some skill in terms of being able to dribble and stuff like this. This would just be some World War I-esque slog. It would look like a bunch of frat boys like just bumping into each other like before a foam party. It's not going to look like basketball.
Yeah.
It's just going to be dudes like bouncing off of one another, and occasionally some fouls will get called. It'll be physical.
Yeah.
If you want the physicality that you're going to miss in flag football.
Yeah, I think I'm more for flag football if there's NFL players than if there's not. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not like completely itching to watch this. I think I'll watch it once and either get my fill of like, oh yeah, this is what it looks like when someone from Sweden tries to guard Justin Jefferson. It goes about as well as I think it will. Because basketball, at least now where we're at, is that other teams can like put out a professional or professional, at least adjacent lineups. Like everyone gets paid to play basketball on Team France or whoever.
Right, yeah.
Most of them are even NBA players. Who the hell is going to play for all these other worldly countries?
Could I play for Team Ireland? Honestly?
I think that's your way in.
Is that my way in? I think I'd have to go a little bit more niche. And that's the problem.
French Canada?
Yeah, Quebec. Team Quebec. If Quebec ever secedes from Canada.
Yeah, that's step one.
That's step one. But then again, it would still be hard. Like, I'm sure there's some good Quebecois football players.
I'm sure there are.
For the 936, I'm fine with it. It's another sport to watch us dominate. I want to see a Polish carpenter get lit up by Roquan Smith.
That's the driver. It would be 100%. I agree with you. It would be 100% better if it was tackle football.
Yeah, it would be better. If it was tackle football, it would be great. And here's the other thing, too. We have so many bases everywhere. It's just going to be Americans playing Americans. We have a military base in every single country.
RG3, don't worry, I'm only going to bring up he was born in Japan or something, right?
Yeah. And what happens if we lose to Russia or China? Like, Russia will definitely pay some people to go turncoat. So will the Chinese. Like, they're about that. They'll give them steroids and everything. Sean's laughing, but this will happen. It's 5-on-5.
I didn't know Joe Mixon was Russian.
He's wearing one of those Russian hats as he gets off a plane. This is a terrible idea. No one wanted this, and I am just annoyed how much the NFL is flexing this. It's like, can we please stop? Like,
yeah.
I see no good that comes out of the NFL being involved in the Olympic Games. I see no good. I see potential for injuries or embarrassment, and I don't see any entertainment coming as a result of it.
They should have started this like they did with basketball, where they do it with amateurs or with at least college basketball players or college football players at first. That way, when the world does catch up to whoever is going to be in college in 2028, that's when, then, boom, we're bringing the pros this time. We're taking it seriously. That's basically what Team USA basketball needs. They need to be embarrassed and then, all right, we're locking in. And we're going to smoke people for the next two Olympics. And then we're going to kind of go through the motions again. And then we'll either lose or get really close. And it's redeem team time. We gotta take this seriously,
yeah,
folks.
We touched on this before. They should have done this where we have, and this would drum up interest in it. Like the Team USA with that 5'8 guy that thinks he's better than Mahomes at flag football. Like that guy comes in, they get killed. And then the NFL guys come in. And it redeemed team. Yeah. I like that.
Lamar Jackson saves America.
Right. But this, I don't think it's going to work out so well. By the way, Hunter Brown's allowed 3 home runs today, and the season feels over, at least right now at 132 on May 21st, 2025. Well, 3 home runs against a minor league team? What are we doing here? Runner on second, bottom of the fifth? Runner on third, no outs, bottom of the fifth. Good God.
It's George Steinbrenner Field is a very hard place to play at 12 in the
it's
afternoon.
Home field advantage.
It's rocking.
Oh, God. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, We go around the National Football League. Yeah, you want us to talk baseball right now? We're about to lose 2-3 to a minor league team in a minor league ballpark, no less. You got to play 7 more games in a minor league ballpark this year. In the 10-minute drill, the tush push survives, and other NFL teams are trying to pull this crap. That could help the Houston Texans out if they do it. Stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Tush, push. Tush, push. Give it a little squeeze. It's staying, baby. The tush, push survived a vote. 10 teams were in opposition to the movement started by snivelly Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers to get rid of it from the game. I love it. It needed 75% support from the NFL's owners to pass. 10 standing in the way. What is that about? A little under a third or so out of 32, 10 divided by 32. So they were closely passing it, but they didn't quite get enough. I like it. Entirely because Roger Goodell wanted it. And anything that Roger Goodell wants, by default, I am against it.
Do we have the list of teams that tried to push it through?
We heard about some of the teams who voted against it, but I don't think that we got the name of every single team, which is kind of lame. But I know that the Patriots voted against it, and the Ravens voted against it, and the Lions voted against it, and the Jets voted against it.
Okay. Why so can't we can get all work backwards and just?
Sorry, I was just looking for the way that they did it. That's how it was reported. It's very strange. Yeah. Like what? Like 6 of the votes to stay anonymous? What the hell's this? The Eagles obviously voted against it. I'm sure
we could just like do the math and like try to figure it out. But yeah, that is. I feel like there should be some sort of scarlet letter that these teams have to wear.
If you're gonna do the tush push.
Or just on their jerseys for next year, where it's, we were anti-tush push.
Yeah, it was very whiny the way that it came about. Because a team that has not been as successful as they probably should be given their regular season success, the Packers, are the ones that are pushing it.
Yeah, and you had guys like Sean McDermott go up, and this was at the Combine, up and cite the player safety issues with it. 2 months after he ran it 6 times against the Chiefs and ran it poorly.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like, I
just want this off my plate.
Yeah. We can't do it like they do it. So yeah. Take it away.
It could be that, or it could be, I need to stop being my own worst enemy. So someone please take this out of my hands. Jesus, take the wheel.
It's like how there's a max contract in the NBA. Yeah. So it's like, all right, guys.
I don't want to be my own worst enemy anymore. Another team is threatening NFL fans that decide to resell most or all of their tickets. And I suppose if the Texans were to do this, this could actually help them out, given that generally Texas games are largely populated by fan bases from other cities. But the Colts sent a letter to their fans saying renewal eligibility for season tickets may be impacted by excessive reselling. Frequent resellers have been told that they are, quote, in violation, end quote, of the team's ticket policy, and more of the same will lead to a different response. The letter that they wrote to these violators: our records show that you listed or resold most of your tickets for the 2024 season, and while no action will be taken today, if you are shown to be reselling most of your tickets again this season, you will unfortunately be unable to renew. Joel Erickson of the Indianapolis Star noted the team created a wait list for those who wanted season tickets last year. Pause. Who the hell's on a wait list to be a Colts season ticket holder? They stink now. There's no Peyton Manning. What are we doing? This is equivalent to if people were on the wait list for the Patriots right now. The Patriots stink. They could be good this year because they got Mike Vrabel and they got a young quarterback in Drake May who seems to be trending upwards, but I'm a Pats fan wearing a Pats shirt right now. I don't know if they'll be good. And I'm not going to act like I know they'll be good.
Yeah, with the Patriots, at least there's like the the hope. You know, like they're on the hope cycle of like this is on the upswing.
They're doing the D'Amico stuff. They brought in an ex-player who won Super Bowls won Super Bowls to be the head coach with the Colts, Sean.
They're on the downswing.
Yeah.
This is the if Anthony Richardson fails, is Shane Steichen on the chopping block?
They have had as much quarterback turnover post Andrew Luck as the Browns probably have. And at least the Browns had a couple of years with Baker Mayfield. But in the years since Andrew Luck walking away from the game, it's been old man after old man after old man, and now it's Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. And on top of that, Chris Ballard still has a job, and Jim Irsay, who might be on drugs, is running the show. He has been before. I don't know. He seems like a fun guy. I'd like to hang out with him. But, I mean, how many times do you see a weird post from Jim Irsay online that makes you at least wonder if he's doing Ambien? I'm just asking if you wonder about it. This is not me accusing. Like, the guy's a strange man. Would you want to have season tickets for this team and go to every single one of their games? If the team stinks, if the product stinks, because these teams are products, you should have the right to resell whenever, for whatever, to whoever. It's weird that cities shame the local fans into thinking that this isn't a asset of theirs. They're paying money for it, but if you're not going to watch every single game because the team stinks, you should be able to get money from people who actually would be willing to watch it. These tickets are outrageously expensive these days. They're making you buy preseason tickets for regular season ticket prices. It's such an FU.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough penalty, and this goes into like the tanking discussion and just general incompetence, really.
Yeah.
You being incompetent isn't like morally better than obviously tanking. Like, you're just bad at your job, not at least employing a strategy of it needs to be more punitive for teams to be bad. It needs to like actually hurt their financials when teams are bad. You see the same thing in baseball too, how when a big free agent hits the market, it's like, well, there's only like six teams that would even entertaining signing this guy. So, you know, you can cut out 2/3 of the league right there of even having, like, it's laughable to think if, you know, the Rays to pick a team would sign a big name free agent. So I think any way that makes it more punitive for financially punitive for franchises when they're bad at their job, when they're stinking, I'm for that.
But these owners, they get to do whatever they want. The commissioner just takes all the heat for their failures. And yeah, you're right. There's a lot of incompetent owners in sports. And here's literal incompetence. They would prefer an empty seat to somebody paying for a seat to actually show up at the game.
Who might buy a beer, might buy a burger.
Because it'll be embarrassing. It'll be embarrassing to have more team fans from the team that you're playing than it will to have empty seats. I'd rather have the seats full. I'd rather have people there. I'm looking at the bottom line. It's bizarre. If the team isn't good, you are not obligated to go. In some markets, that is the mindset. I know in Seattle, there was actually like a 50-50 kind of debate about whether or not the Seahawks, who did the exact same thing as the Colts, should be telling people, hey, you can't resell your tickets. But it's like, your quarterback's Sam Darnold, and you haven't been good, and you moved on from Pete Carroll, and the Legion of Boom days are in the past. You don't look at the Seahawks and think they're a Super Bowl contender. You think they might be a playoff contender? Might. Keyword might.
Yeah.
So I think it's annoying that the NFL is doing this and that teams feel that they can get away with doing this without any blowback whatsoever. They should be shamed for trying to tell people, yeah, you can't do what you want with the tickets that would be more valuable if we were better at our jobs.
Oh, I was also going to say, you can't. I'm not sure if I like the, hey, we sold you this thing. What you do with it, we still have a say with what you do with this thing that we sold you. You spent money buying tickets, so here's all the stipulations that come with it.
Yeah. Now, it does say that they are terms and conditions for all these tickets.
But why should you can't sell it be a term and condition?
They made it a term and condition. It's a private corporation, but, I mean, who reads those also?
some lawyers. Yeah, like, well, you should read them.
It also those things also say if like a if a ceiling tile falls on you, it's not the team's fault.
Yeah. The rise of digital has certainly made things easier. This has made things, I would imagine, because the NFL still wants to wet its beak on everything that happens, a little bit more difficult. Like, this is where you'd want the paper tickets so you can just sell them by cash and not have to deal with this. I don't know how that works. I don't know if they send people the season tickets. I'll have to ask Joe, because I know Joe's a season ticket holder for the Texans. But they generally put them, like they used to back in the day, it would be in an envelope.
Yeah.
Get them all sent to you. I don't think they do that anymore.
I think they get sent to you digitally now.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a bummer. Yeah. That if it were just done this way, it would be very easy to get rid of them in the days of the day. Just put it on Craigslist or something like that. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. A question. What athletes, prominent athletes, star athletes, do you least enjoy watching? And how do they compare to a guy who last night made the Western Conference Finals rather difficult to watch? Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
Food and rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hunter Brown starts bumming me out. Bumming me out. The one thing that I thought I had with the Houston Astros this year. Offense ain't doing much. Bullpen's been good. But Hunter Brown and a Cy Young quest. Thought we had that. And that might be over. Might be over. You know, today's performance against the Tampa Bay Rays, where he's getting shelled by a minor league baseball team in a minor league ballpark, it's not good. Now, did see this, courtesy of Ari Alexander from Channel 2, if you want to do a little spin zone. None of the three homers the Rays have hit against Hunter Brown today would have been a home run at Daikin Park, which is a rather hitter-friendly ballpark. So does that mean this is an even more hitter-friendly park?
It means it's a Mickey Mouse ballpark.
That's Mickey Mouse ballpark. Okay. I mean, it is the Yankees minor league stadium, so perhaps there are some jet streams.
I think they also – I saw something on the broadcast in here where they were showing the wind the wind blowing. Apparently, the wind was blowing out for most of this game.
Okay.
Well, I know they're talking about Paredes' home run. Where they did like some projection where it might not have left the ballpark if it was
a
normal day.
That makes sense because Brandon Lowe hit a home run that went 320 feet to like fairly deep right center field, and it had an expecting batting average of, get this, .010. That is, kids, in math terms, if we're talking batting averages, that is a he's batting 10.
An .010.
It's not like that's an .010.
I mean, think Jose Abreu last year. Jose Abreu was like 8 times better than .010.
Yeah.
He was .08. .080.
By the way, they could have started Hunter Brown last night and have Hunter Brown for their series against Seattle over the weekend. And just some things. Anyway, hey, I don't really enjoy watching the Houston Astros at the plate, but you know what I enjoy less? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. James Harden walked so that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander could fly and then crash into the ground and act like he had been shot down by anti-aircraft fire. No, that's not a tennis player. That's the sound in my head whenever Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is embellishing contact. And he really embellishes. I guess the first 6 minutes of last night's game, there were 7 free throws shot by him. I also saw that there's a lot of people coming out for SGA, who is probably going to be the NBA MVP this year, who are saying that, yeah, he's not even the top 30 as far as fouls drawn. But the way that he does it, it's reprehensible. It lacks honor. Jalen Brunson, guilty of it, too. There's players on every single team in the league that do it. I hate it. Rockets, for the most part, are pretty good about it. But you have your moments with Dylan Brooks. you have your moments with Fred VanVleet.
Oh, Shingun.
Shingun. I don't know how I didn't think about him right off the top of my head.
Yeah, but they don't do the like the more obvious, like there's nothing I am trying to accomplish other than get a foul call, which is like that's the really bad stuff to me. If you're embellishing, it's at least like, hey, listen, that's like part of it is like you can't if you just bulldoze through every foul, like you just they'll never call it.
Yeah.
At the same time though, like the touch foul, like that's what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was doing last night. It was touch foul, I'm falling down.
Jalen Green could figure.
Yeah, he weighs used some of 25 pounds. He definitely should.
Green should. Like, it would be believable. Also, Green always is going a million miles per hour.
Yeah, he's
downhill.
A little, like, out of control.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe get control and flop.
Get control so then you can then fall down.
I don't know. Just I've seen a lot of people post that online. I hope he doesn't do that. I do like that he plays the game with honor, that he's not a cheat. But, yeah. Anyway, SGA, not a fun watch. And it had me wondering, among the best athletes in sports, who are the most difficult to watch? I have a couple off the top of my head that are not prominent athletes. I would say Browns quarterbacks. Browns quarterbacks,
just as a whole,
are hard to watch. Okay. By the way, for those who don't know, they're going to have a four-player quarterback competition. All four have a fair chance. And get this, Deshaun Watson is out of a walking boot and is throwing at the Browns facility. Now, I didn't know he was in a walking boot because I thought he tore his ACL and his Achilles, but I don't know. I have no idea what he's – it's an Achilles injury, right?
Did he he tore his Achilles and then got surgery and then I think re-tore it.
That's right. But he's out of the boot.
He's out of the boot now.
So
five-person?
Five-person quarterback competition. Let's go. I'm excited. I'm excited for that. Also, the Saints quarterback competition. I mean, it's Tyler Shue probably.
Shuck.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It rhymes with suck. That's how you know.
I shouldn't laugh that hard at that, but it does.
Poor guy. Yeah, no, I think if we're going with quarterbacks, I think Kirk Cousins has always been a tough watch for me.
Because there will be stuff open downfield.
Derek Carr is similar where, it is the check down. Like, the guys that cannot wait to throw that check down pass, that's always a tough watch for me.
Yeah.
Either you just, like, bomb it, or at least, like, throw to the sticks, you know? Just to – it's a little bit more exciting than an open running back who's going to get tackled 3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
You almost at times wish that Cousins had a little Jameis Winston in him.
Yeah.
Every now and then, hey, just try to see what happens, especially when he had Justin Jefferson as his number one wide receiver. You would have thought that they would have done that more. And there were moments where he did do that, and Justin Jefferson was like, do it more. Other guys, top athletes that are tough to watch.
Russ Wilson also, after he got bad in Denver, he just became tough to watch because he was just like such a limited quarterback because of his height and lack of mobility.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. See, that's the thing. There's a lot of athletes that at one point were fun to watch. Wilson was so fun.
Yeah.
But once they get out of that phase, then they almost stop being the same athlete. Athletes who are not fun. In baseball, it's hard to think of one in baseball, honestly.
Any pitcher, and luckily with the pitch clock that this gets remedied. Yeah. But the guys that would take forever between
the relievers
pitches,
especially,
where it'd be it. Like 30 seconds between stepping on the rubber, those guys were always tough. There's not really a baseball hitter that's jumping out to me.
No, I mean we're talking about guys like who are
Garcia Parra always messing with
stepping out of the batter's box was a little annoying. Yeah, the guys who would take timeouts and clearly it's like they had an extra, like they were above the law. David Ortiz would call timeouts when the timeout.
Oh yeah, the super late one. Yeah,
and they were like not supposed to call it, but Ortiz would always get away with it. But yeah, baseball. To baseball's credit, there aren't that many stars that you're like, I hate watching this guy.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. Like if you put the ball on the bat, hell yeah, and if you're a good pitcher, hell yeah. And generally, you're towards the top of the game. Football, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are like that.
I don't know any.
Basketball's got the most, but I think it's just like a sport problem because there's a lot of guys who are like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And on top of that, there's a lot of teams that just, they got guys that keep on chucking threes when they're not good. Like, well, how many did the Timberwolves miss last night? Like, I mean, they shot 50 threes, and I think.
I know they got to 50.
Yeah, and I don't think they made much more than 10 off the top of my head. So that, I think, lends itself to the entirety of the NBA. So you could say that if you want to. But athletes who were difficult to watch, 713-780-3776.
Joel Embiid, by the way.
Recent vintage.
Joel Embiid used to be fun. But I think partially due to injuries, partially because he now just falls. He plays like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but he's 6 inches taller and 100 pounds heavier. Tough watch. Trae Young, pretty tough watch.
Trae Young is difficult. Harden, when he was still at the top.
Yeah, Harden, Harden's almost the opposite now, where he's a better watch now that he's worse.
Yeah.
Now that he's worse as a player.
It is interesting, yeah, because he's taking that little bit of a step back. Someone texted in Juan Soto. Yeah, mainly because you get reminded that he's 18 or whatever he is.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. Especially right now, where people are not happy with Juan Soto right now.
I forgot, because he does the stupid thing that when he
the shuffle.
The Soto shuffle, yeah, it's super annoying. And that. Anyway, you can chime in on that. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. Got a piping hot take about Hunter Brown that I want to talk about on the other side. Stick around. The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, Texas.
ESPN 975.